MHS, doing the thing on the other side of the fence at Green Auto Friday night. Check it out. Up at 648 Kingsway, also known as Take Your Time Back, is Live and Learn, who are, yeah, all these Vancouver bands here. You got Mival, Fate XY, and Hannah Dykeman doing their respective things over there at Take Your Time Back, 648 Kingsway. Fraser and Kingsway is where you hop off and just go back a little bit down Kingsway. So yeah, check it out. We'll hear some music from Live and Learn in the next cut, so don't touch that dial. Last but not least, I figure worth mentioning because people are singing some Mamma Mia songs at the karaoke today. In case you don't know, we host karaoke every other Thursday, so that's next Thursday. At the Student Union building. So if you're in the area, come through, sing a song. We got a bunch of regulars. Shout out Kenneth. Shout out JC. Shout out to the SFU choir people. Shout out Rithik. Shout out... there's so many of y'all. So many great singers here at SFU. They're all hiding up here. Anyways, speaking of great singers, we're going to get some more music occurring. So we're going to cut the reggae, as nice as it is, and hop into some music here. Let's start off mellow. We're going to get into some music from Beastie. This is Fool's Bet from their album Tiny Crimes. Right, so that was a Beastie with Tiny Crimes here popping in here because we're going to have a very rather paradigm shift in sound here. So I figured just pop in there. But check out Bestie along with Two Girls, One Daw, Shake the Cave, and Ultraviolet over at the Red Gate, Main and Third Friday night. And then, yeah, so now we're going to go into something a little bit faster. We're going to go into Too Much News from Live and Learn.
Wait, leave it.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, listeners. You're still listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. This is still me, Jabe Gradowski, your host as always, with guest host Charlotte joining us. And we're also live somewhere.
A Chinese platform, on WeChat.
That's wild. Yeah. We're worldwide, more so than ever.
Yeah.
Many years ago, I did a tour of the Shaw television station with the kids camp, and they put me in front of a camera, and I am, mind you, this was like 10 years ago, so my experience in the media was much less, so being in front of a camera and reading a teleprompter was not a good time, but since I have no script, I feel much more comfortable. So you just heard a bunch of punk music. That was Make It Right with their track Knobhead. So what's up, British people? Off their album Rain City Demo, which is, I guess, a demo track, as you may have guessed. You can catch them over at Green Auto. They're playing with A Morning Star, Guilt, Dungeon Serpent, Sword and Sword of Damocles. Doors are at 6:30, so show up early. They don't be late. They will not wait. Hardcore flies by if you blink. Years ago, I did a hardcore show for this program, and I played like 40 songs because they're all very short. Shout out to the hard and fast world of hardcore music. Before that was Live and Learn with their song Too Much News. You can catch them over at Take Your Time Back at 648 Kingsway. It's Friday night as well. 7 o'clock door times for that one. They're playing with Me Vule, Fate XY, and Hannah Dykeman doing their respective things. And on to our next segment. For the first time in ages, we have an interview not conducted by me again. I haven't done one in a while. Shout out no one in particular, because no one's... it's not that no one's asked me to do an interview. I just haven't had time. But Olivia Sherman sure has had time. She caught up with director of Push Art Festival that's running to the end of this week with dear Gabrielle Martin. So we're going to take a listen to that. We'll be back in about 15 minutes, and then we'll wrap up the show lightning fast because we still got Saturday to talk about. So hop into this, and we'll be back in a little bit shortly.
Since 2003, the Push Festival has been running annually in Vancouver as an interdisciplinary, multimodal space for artists across mediums to interact and perform. Today, I'm speaking with Gabriel Martin, the artistic director for the festival. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
In what ways do local artists and communities shape Push's identity, and how do artists from across Canada and beyond fit into that?
Yes, thanks for the question. I think, each year there are local works in the festival that are so critical to balance the international and the national. And I think those works are always in dialogue with each other. That's our goal. And then literally we try and create space for dialogue around them. I'm not just, there are artist talks, after the shows. There are interviews I conduct with artists that are disseminated digitally around the shows and workshops. But also we have this industry series for arts industry artists, producers, presenters to come together for a week during the festival, see work together. And really to be in dialogue about what it means to create and present in this contemporary moment. It's a really important platform also for local artists to get their work seen by colleagues, people they know or don't know from across Canada, from abroad. That's a rare opportunity because of our relative geographic isolation. And it's a really important role that Push plays. And from the beginning, the festival was envisioned as an international festival, but an international festival that is creating that space for dialogue and exchange by having artists local, national, and abroad sharing stages, sharing spaces. That's something that's special about a festival that's different from a seasonal presentation kind of format where everybody's in the city at the same place, at the same time, same place. And there's something that's possible because of the relationships that, emerge, or at least the potentiality of that. And then your second question was about national artists, was it?
From across Canada, then beyond. So worldwide, international.
Yeah, the festival is fundamentally about expanding our sense of the world, our paradigms for expression and relation. So having the intersection of diverse perspectives and practices is really like the foundation of what this festival is about and has been from the very beginning when, you know, it started at a time where there were very few presenters presenting national, international, contemporary performance. So, you know, a lot of the work presented in this festival is interdisciplinary or adventurous in form, is in conversation with social and political urgencies, and we're still limited in terms of the number of presenters and just kind of the scale of our scene locally in terms of the capacity to welcome that kind of work. So, you know, it was especially critical in the moment it was started in terms of being able to bring work that wouldn't otherwise come here. And now there's more opportunities, there are more presenters, but it still remains unique. And I am not, I don't think I'm out of place in saying that it's very critical. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, as artistic director, what are some of the core values that guide your, I guess, your curatorial decisions for the festival?
Mm-hmm. Well, that it's a truly international festival. And I mean, it's in the title and maybe that sounds obvious, but it's actually quite complicated to present a festival that has work that is from the global north as well as the global south because of the economics, because of the kind of neo-colonial economic reality, cultural economics, where there is just so much more support from, you know, in general, from countries that are part of the global north to financially support touring artists and creative export that doesn't happen in a lot of other places in the world. And so that's a real value and priority in terms of being able to create some equity in terms of who we see on stage when we say international, who that it's not just artists from Europe, even though there are obviously lots of great artists from Europe and also lots of diasporic, like artists that belong to diasporic cultures from elsewhere in the world based in Europe. Yeah, so that is one. And, you know, we aim to support that value or realize that value by also investing in co-productions where we can, you know, which is a limited resource at this point, but I'm trying to develop that. So, for example, tonight we premiere Kamwe Kamwe, which is a work we're co-producing by the Zimbabwean dance company Jerihuni Movement Factory. Yeah, that's just one of the ways that we work towards that. And beyond that, the values, I mean, that I kind of mentioned the simple mandate to expand our sense of the world. And so that is really done by how the work helps us situate ourselves in relationship to the issues, you know, the contemporary global issues. And that also sparks our imagination because that's where change happens. That's where we can imagine different, better futures, otherwise ways of living, being. And so I really hope that the festival does, you know, is work that transforms and transports us and really gives us a sense of possibility and potential by offering us something that's an experience that we haven't experienced before.
On that note, I want to look a little bit more at the audiences and who do you imagine PUSH is for in terms of the audience? Who are you still trying to reach and how do you invite audiences into more unfamiliar works?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a challenge. I mean, there's always so much more resource we could put into marketing and outreach. It's a truly diverse festival in terms of, as mentioned, the perspectives and practices on stage. But I think in this city, performing arts often get siloed. And, you know, there are people who go to see dance shows, often dancers. And then there's people who don't, you know, just for an example. And a lot of the projects have content or thematics that can speak to a really broad audience, but if they don't already have a theater-going practice, it's a real challenge. And so I think we kind of work at it slowly, you know, to the capacity we can. We do have an accessible PUSH program, which is focused on integrating access supports into the shows and working with artists to develop elements of the shows that can be developed so that they are more accessible to various people with different barriers to participation. And part of that role is the community ticketing. So specifically that focus is on partnering with organizations that serve and work with people who have financial barriers to participation. But also, this is Andrea Cowan, and I just need to give her a shout out because she's so great. We do collaborate as well on, you know, for each project, okay, you know, is there a specific cultural community who, you know, would really, who this work is speaking to, that share a lived experience of the artist on stage that might connect with this work? And we do that to the extent that we can. I think this year we're talking about the festival as being a festival for the culturally fearless, and that's meant as less of a challenge and more as an invitation, hoping to cultivate a kind of practice of theater going where, you know, it's not just about I like it or I don't like it, but that there can be more of a like, okay, I didn't like this part of it. Why didn't I like this part of the show? But I did like this part of it. And why did I like this? Or why do, what are the other things affecting my experience of this work? Where do I think the artist is coming from? Did the artist achieve what they were trying to do? Like all those, you know, that ideally if the work sparks conversation, emotional response, that that there's some value in that. Because the thing is it is a very diverse festival and we have very diverse audiences. So that means that not every piece in the festival is for everybody that intersects with PUSH. So it's about how we try and communicate the work and then also how we're trying to cultivate in our audiences a cultural fearlessness for different experiences. And we hope that people come to more than just one show in the festival so that they can get a bit of a breadth of experience and see how the different pieces might be in conversation with each other.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of artists tend to thrive in the environment that PUSH curates?
Well, in terms of the artists that are part of the program, I mean, I would say a lot, but like, I wish that I could support more artists in being presented at PUSH because, as mentioned, there's such a lack of presentation opportunities and opportunities to have their work made visible beyond the city. But yeah, as mentioned, you know, there are a lot of artists. I'm going to start that over. So I spoke about adventurousness and form, and I think the festival prioritizes artists working interdisciplinarily, taking creative risks, working in unconventional ways, experimenting. So not a lot of conventional expressions of form. There are very few pieces in the festival where you can say, oh, well, that's dance or that's theater, because of that porousness in expression. And yeah, and I would say also that it's important that, you know, I try and think about cultural urgency. You know, we're living in a poly crisis. So for me, artists whose work is in relation to that reality, and it doesn't have to be in a literal way with, you know, a very with literal text about the experience of living now and in these times, though literal text can be part of it, but that their practice and that their lived experience and that, you know, they're creating from a place that is conscious of that reality with the wider world. So I think that's even something, you know, it might be a local artist, but the influences and the conversations they're part of and the way they're engaging, the research they're doing is engaged with a wider sense of the world.
And you've been with the festival for a couple years now. What surprised you the most about directing PUSH?
What has surprised me the most? That's a great question. I'm having a hard time coming up with the answer to that one. What surprised me the most? I think that sometimes there are... I don't think I have an answer for that question right now. Sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just got one more before I let you go. What excites you the most about the festival's future?
Well, right now we're kind of taking it year by year. There will be definitely be a push next year. So I don't mean to, you know, alarm anyone, but there is a kind of living in the moment, experience because of the financial precarity. So it's hard to plan far in advance, just specifically with regards to arts funding. I will speak to, though, what I'm excited about in this festival. And I would say it's all the artists that are bringing us into diffracted and deep senses of time, that are giving us a sense of a more macro experience, that are weaving in ancestral and ancient embodied practices, and also opening up futurisms that exist outside of like the futures that dominant culture wants to provide for us. So I'm really excited that there are so many projects in this festival that really expand our sense of existence and help situate us in relation to possible futures. And there are so many projects that I'm just really excited to experience. I'm talking about, I mean, there's so many, but, you know, Ask You One is one of these, catching up to the future of our past. Remember that time we met in the future, Split Two, Sepajiji. The list is pretty long.
Well, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for meeting with me on such short notice.
Yeah, thank you for your interest and push. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yo, shout out Olivia Sherman and the fine people at Push. Again, Push is taking place all over town in many places. Look them up. Let's see real quick. What can I find out for you real quick so I don't sound like a bad presenter? Festival Vancouver. Go to pushfestival.ca to find out all sorts of information, you know, what's happening, what's going on, who they are, and what they've been doing all this time. We are pressed for time, so I don't have a lot to get out of here on, but I'm going to tell you to not touch that dial, as we have Danny coming up for Analog Archive at 6 o'clock. And shout out to Charlotte over here, who's been joining me for the last hour. We've been talking about stuff, language, and, I don't know, international viewers, high international viewers on
WeChat.
On WeChat. What's up? Ni hao.
Yeah, we really appreciate this. I really love the talk, and then I got a lot of information from you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to even next time and teaching you Chinese, by the way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to go. I'm going to play some music from Lola. They're playing with Avery Sloan. Good luck, have fun, Stitch, and Stuck Productions at Redgate. They're going to segue us into Analog Archives. This has been me, Jabe Gradowski, and Charlotte as well. Have a good weekend. Call, drink lots of water, maybe some tea, and have a great weekend. Bye.
Just going home alone, and I don't want to be in the house alone, and I don't want to be in the house with you, and I don't know what to do with myself.